The picture in the summer of 1874. This was the experience of James White for a time in the summer of 1874. As burdens multiplied and problems pertaining to the new publication crowded in, discouragement and gloom overtook him, leading him to be suspicious and to lay blame on others for situations that either did not exist or that he had created. This emotional problem was perhaps at its worst when in early June, Ellen White, in response to the clear leading of the Lord, started out alone to attend camp meetings to raise money to relieve the pressing financial situation. At this moment, James White, recognizing the divine leading, declared, "Ellen, you must go. But what shall I do without you?" He recognized clearly the reason for her venturing forth without him. Prior to this, there were slight hints of situations that may have caused friction. Ellen wrote to Willie on May 15. "Gladly would we attend the camp meetings east if we could feel that the Lord sends us. If it were duty, I would go alone, but this is questionable. Father, I fear, would not do as well if I should leave him. We ought to labor unitedly together. Our influence has been needed here at this particular time in Oakland." After the science was started and Ellen was visiting the camp meetings, she wrote to James from Wisconsin on June 21. "I have no doubts in regard to my duty. I have had a spirit of freedom. All are very attentive to my wants and seem to think it is a privilege to do all they can for us. Dear husband, I believe that God is at work. It is a special and important time. I never felt greater necessity of God's working with our efforts. We have no time to rest, no time to yield to temptation. We must work while the day lasts." Then, referring directly to James himself, whom she now knew was depressed and discouraged, she wrote, "I hope that you will receive special help of God. Do not afflict your soul in looking at the things which are seen. Do not allow your mind to dwell upon unpleasant things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. We may be miserable or we may be at peace with God and be happy. We have no need to afflict and distress our souls over many things. In our doing this, our usefulness is lessened 1/3. The enemy knows how to manage to dishearten and discourage by presenting before us sad pictures which we should not allow our eyes to rest upon, for it only makes us miserable and does no soul a particle of good. Every particle of selfishness must be separated from us, and we must have the Spirit of Christ. I mean to trust in God. I feel sorry for you and feel deep sympathy for you in your affliction. I mean to help you what I can, but don't let the enemy make you think only of my deficiencies which are, you think, so apparent, for in trying to fix me over, you may destroy my usefulness, my freedom, and bring me into a position of restraint, or embarrassment, that will unfit me for the work of God." James's communications to Ellen at this time are not on file, but Ellen's daily letters and cards to him suggest that James felt he should have more influence over her work as the messenger of God. Ellen ever guarded that point lest any person, no matter who he might be, should have influence over her messages. Well, she understood the normal relationship that should exist between husbands and wives. This is reflected in a letter she wrote some years earlier to Mary Loughborough. "We women must remember that God has placed us subject to the husband. He is the head, and our judgment and views and reasonings must agree with his if possible. If not, the preference in God's word is given to the husband where it is not a matter of conscience. We must yield to the head." Ellen White was pleased to defer to her husband in the home life, in social situations, in travel, and in recreation, and to tenderly care for him in periods of illness. But there could be no compromise in letting him influence her special work and the messages she bore at heaven's bidding. In addition to the letter written to her husband on June 21, 1874, quoted above, we get a glimpse of the conflict of interest between her prophetic mission and her loyalty to her husband in three letters written between July 2 and 10, 1874. they demonstrate the attempts of the great adversary to hinder the cause of God. The conflict was not in their marriage, as is shown by frequent expressions of affection, but in keeping their special God-appointed interests separate.